Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to Leumi's third quarter and 9 months 2019 results conference call. All participants are at present in a listen-only mode. Following the management's formal presentation, instructions will be given for the question and answer session. For operator's assistance during the conference, please press star zero. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded November 26, 2019. With us on the line today is Mr. Omer Ziv, first EVP and CFO. I would like to remind everyone that forward-looking statements for the respective company's business, financial conditions, and results of its operations are subject to risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially from those contemplated. Such forward-looking statements include but are not limited to product demand, pricing, market acceptance, changing economic conditions, risks in product and technology development, and the effect of the company's accounting policies, as well as certain other risk factors, which are detailed from time to time in the company's filings with various securities authorities. A PowerPoint presentation, which is available on the bank's website, www.bankleumi.co.il, will be used during this conference call. I would now like to turn the call over to Ms. Daphna Golden, VP Investor Relations. Ms. Golden, please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. Ladies and gentlemen, we thank you for taking the time to join us on this results call of Bank Leumi's September 30th financial statements for 2019. Omer Ziv, first EVP and CFO, will be presenting the developments and major takeaways from the financial statements. We are joined today by our colleague, Dr. Gil Buffman, Leumi's chief economist. The presentation can be found on the IR section of our website and on the PACE website. I'd now like to turn over the call to Omer.
Thank you, Daphna. Good day, and thank you for joining us in reviewing our results for September 2019. Let's start with slide number 3. Before going into the analysis, I would like to touch upon the following points. The ROE for the first 9 months of the year reached 10.4%, up from 10.2% last year. Even when excluding the effect of Leumi Card, the ROE for the first 9 months of 2019 remained high, 9.6%. These results were led by a significant increase in income and improvement in the cost-income ratio. Regarding the expenses, I would like to mention that in accordance with our early retirement plan, 400 employees are expected to retire by the end of this year. Our credit growth continued to focus on middle market, mortgages, and corporate. Our high capital buffers enable us to continue distributing a dividend of 40% from the net profit, and on top of it, to implement a buyback plan of 700 million shekels for 2019. And last but not least, the technology transformation across the board remains a key element in our strategy going forward. I'm moving on to slide number 4. In the lower chart, we present the income, the cost-income ratio, and the ROE for the first 9 months of the year compared to last year. In the upper chart, we present the same parameters, but after excluding the effect of Leumi Card on the results. With your permission, from this point, I will analyze the results without the impact of Leumi Card. During the first 9 months of 2019, there was a significant increase of nearly 8% in income, along with an increase in the net interest margin. This increase led to a reduction in the cost-income ratio from 59.6% to slightly less than 57%. Yet, the ROE remained at the same level as last year, 9.6%, due to an increase in the credit loss expense ratio compared to last year. Continuing to slide number 5. The finance income for the first 9 months of the year increased by nearly 10% compared to last year. The net interest income increased by nearly 300 million shekels as a result of an increase in credit and margins. I would like to mention that this increase was achieved even though the CPI for the first 9 months of the year was 0.5% compared to a CPI of 1.1% in the corresponding period last year. The non-interest finance income, excluding the impact of the sale of Lumi Card, reached 989 million shekels for the first 9 months of the year compared to 595 million shekels in the corresponding period. The increase is mainly attributed to derivatives and foreign exchange. Fees and commissions, excluding the impact of Lumi Card, were slightly less than last year. This slight decrease was mainly attributed to financial product distribution fees. The credit loss expense ratio for the first 9 months of 2019 was 0.21% compared to 0.12% last year. This increase is mainly attributed to lower collections, classification of debts, and an increase in activity. The expenses increased by 3.1% compared to last year as a result of an increase in bonus provisions, including the bonus granted on the signing of the new 2019 collective wage agreement, and as a result of a one-time accounting loss of 54 million shekels due to an exchange of bond series, which in essence reflects earlier interest payments of future periods. Looking forward to 2020, I would like to point out that 400 employees are expected to retire by the end of this year. I'm moving on to slide number 6. The finance income for the third quarter decreased by 6.7% compared to last year. The decrease in the net interest income is due to the negative 0.7% CPI in the third quarter compared to a positive CPI of 0.2% last year. This difference in the CPI negatively impacted the NII by 150 million shekels. The expenses increased by 3.9% compared to last year, mainly as a result of the one-time accounting loss of 54 million shekels due to an exchange of bond series, as I mentioned earlier. The negative CPI of 0.7% and the one-time accounting loss from the exchange of the bonds on the one hand, and on the other hand, the profit of 168 million shekels from the sale of Avgol and Tel Aviv Stock Exchange shares in the third quarter last year led to a decrease in the net profit in the third quarter of 129 million shekels compared to last year. Neutralizing these effects would have led to an increase in the net income compared to last year. I'm moving ahead now to slide number 7. Our loan book was up at 280 billion shekels at the end of the third quarter of 2019, 4.5% higher than last year. As in previous quarters, we have continued to focus our growth in middle market, mortgages, and corporate. I'm turning now to slide 8. This slide illustrates our robust capital ratios, our leverage ratio, and liquidity ratio, in all of which we are much above the minimum requirements. Our equity at the end of the quarter amounted to 35.1 billion shekels, slightly less than the beginning of the year. The reason is that while we recorded a net profit of 2.8 billion shekels, we distributed a 40% dividend, and on top of that, we carried out a 700 million shekels buyback plan. In addition, our pension liability increased significantly from the beginning of the year, mainly due to a decrease in the interest rate in which we discount this liability. This increase was recorded directly to equity. This leads me to the next slide. Considering the yields and the high capital adequacy ratios, the Board of Directors has approved a dividend of 40% for the third quarter, which reflects a dividend yield of 3.4%. The accumulated dividend since the beginning of the year crossed the 1 billion shekel mark, reaching 1.1 billion shekels. In addition, during the third quarter, the bank continued to implement the buyback plan and bought shares in the amount of 353 million shekels. Since the beginning of the year and up until last week, the total amount of the buyback plan executed reached the 700 million shekel target. With that, I will now open the call for questions. Operators?
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star one. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star two. If you are using speaker equipment, kindly lift the handset before pressing the numbers. Your questions will be pulled in the order they are received. Please stand by while we pull for your questions. First question is by Tavy Rosner of Barclays. Tavy, please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my questions. I have a few short ones. First, when we look at the cost slides in your presentation, we see the salary expense being flat year-over-year, but a slight increase in other expenses. Is there anything special in there, or just a one-time increase, or how can we model this going forward?
Hi, Tavy. Thank you for your questions. With regard to the other expenses, as I mentioned in the presentation, the increase is mainly driven by one-time accounting loss of 54 million shekels as a result of exchange of series of bonds. During the third quarter, we replaced a series of bonds in which we issued a few years ago with a new series. So according to the accounting rules, we have to bring forward all the extra interest rates which we would have had to pay on the previous series and write it in one quarter. So it's not really belong to the quarter, it's just because we did the replacement in this quarter. When I put it aside, the other expenses are more or less at the same level. And I would like to remind that during the last 3 years, as far as I remember, we've been able to put our expenses more or less at the same level or even to decrease it. And looking forward, we will continue to try to increase our income with keeping our expenses more or less at the same level or even try to decrease it a little bit. I would like to remind again that at the end of this year, 400 employees will leave the company as a result of the efficiency plan which we implemented during 2019. So with regard to the salary expenses, by this aspect, the salary expenses are expected to be lower than 2019.
Thank you. And looking at the loan growth, in particular the corporate side that you grew at 11%, is it coming from a particular industry? And second of all, can you confirm that you're still applying the same underwriting stringency when it comes to those new loans?
Yes. First, part of the increase in the corporate is regarded to the credit card companies, which after we sold Leumi Card and after Poalim sold the Issacard, they have to raise their fund in the market. So part of it comes through the banks, and part of it is this increase that you see. The other part is related to real estate, in which we feel very comfortable because of the collateral. With regard to the credit policy, it didn't change. And in corporate, in big companies, in places where we decide to put our to grant credit, most of it is protected by a specific collateral. So this is the reason why we focus our growth in this segment and in mortgages and corporate and not in unsecured household and small businesses, which we feel less comfortable.
Thank you. Maybe one last one, if I may. So you have your own internally managed pension liabilities, you know, which is a factor of the yield curve. So can you remind us the mechanism whereby if rates were to go down throughout the curve, or how much would the decrease in the rates would have to trigger any impact on your income statement?
Yeah. First, to put it in the right perspective, any change in the interest rate which impact the pension liabilities is written directly to equity, is not recorded to the P&L, and the effect of that on the P&L is spread over, I would say, around 10 years. And if we look what's happened in the first 9 months, or mainly in the third quarter, we would have seen that there was a material decrease in the interest rate in which we discount our pension liabilities. And according to that, we had to write off of our equity around, I would say, 600, 700 million shekels net of tax. Currently, the discount interest rate is 1.5. It's even less than 1.5%. So I would say that I cannot forecast the future, but when I look backward, even 10 years ago or 15 years ago, a discount rate level, an interest rate of 1.5% for a period of 15 years is quite small. Is on the lower side of the of the interest rate that we saw in the past. If there will be, and I reminded in the past, if there will be an addition, a decrease of 1% in the interest rate, so it will have a negative effect on the pension liability pre-tax of about 2 billion shekels, but if there will be an addition, decrease in the interest rate, this is the effect on the pension liability. On the other end, there will be a positive effect on the bonds, which mitigate around 40% of it. And if you deduct tax, so you will see that after all, the effect will be around, I don't know, I would say 800 million shekels or something like that. But it seems very unreasonable that that the interest rate, that the yield for a 15 years period will come to a ratio, to a rate of about 40 basis points or 50 basis points. We are currently looking at the history, we are currently in a very, very low rate of interest rate. So the chance that it will continue to decrease by this amount, by 1%, is for me, it seems unreasonable.
Thank you. I appreciate the caller. I'll go back to the queue.
Next question is by Micha Goldberg of Excellence. Micha, please go ahead.
Hi, thank you very much for taking my questions. I have a couple of short ones and maybe one bigger one. But in your Q3 results, you show that you have losses from equity investments, 32 million shekels and another 97 million shekels. Could you explain what caused those losses this quarter?
Hi, Micha. Thank you for your question. Part of it is against the derivatives. I mean that there is a quite material profit from derivatives, and part of the transaction is that we buy the stocks, and against that there is a derivative which balances the stock. So you cannot look at it at one piece. You have to look all of it together, because it's a total transaction. So there is no really loss from shares. It's just part of it is against the derivative, which present a relatively high profit. With regard to the 99 million shekels, the main part of it is related to the sale of Romania, which doesn't have really material effect on the result, because on the other end, the tax rates are very low, because there is a tax shield on those results. So overall, the net impact of this on the results is not material.
Thank you. Very good. Another small question is about your provisions in this quarter. They were relatively, slightly high, and I'm just wondering what you think we should be looking for in 2020. Are we looking for similar kind of rates that we're looking at now? Do you think numbers are going to go up because the recovery is coming down, or are we slightly above what you think should be sustainable?
I think that the credit loss expense ratio for the first 9 months is 21 basis points, very similar to the first half of the year in which there were 19 basis points. I think that the level of 20 basis points is reasonable. It can be 25 basis points. It could be in some quarter less than 20 basis points. So this area between 25 basis points to slightly less than 20 basis points seems for me reasonable. The high collections that we used to have in the last 2 or 3 years are ended, and now there are collections, but in the regular course of business. So I think that credit loss expense ratio in this area between 25 basis points to even slightly less than 20 basis points is quite reasonable.
Okay, thank you. And just to that expect, I mean, the CECLA, the expected credit loss implementation, do you know if that's going to have any major impact on how you're going to be looking at your capital, or is that still too far out?
Well, it's still too far. The implementation of the CECL is expected to be during 2022. So it's 3 years from now, and the numbers can change materially. So it's too early now to focus what will be the effect.
Okay, I understand. You said you finished your buyback, and you're still at a relatively high Tier 1 levels, and I'm wondering, are you looking to increase your dividend payout policy or improve or increase your buyback? What's the new strategy looking forward, or are you looking to keep the current buffers on your Common Equity 1?
Well, we just ended the buyback of 2019 last week. We are aware of the fact that we have a T1 adequacy ratio of 11.7%, and all the options are on the table.
What do you think is a reasonable target for you to keep?
Well, in the last 2 years, we had an effective dividend payout ratio of 60%, which was a mix of 40% dividend and a buyback plan of 700 million shekels. As I mentioned, we will consider all the options, and I'm sure that you will know when, I believe, at the end of the next quarter or maybe a little bit later.
Okay. And then on the pension liabilities, I mean, it hurt you equity this quarterly very significantly, and I'm just wondering, are there any alternative solutions to the current status? Is there anything you can do to reduce that liability?
Well, as I pointed out before, the effect on the equity is not in the full amount of the effect on the pension liability, because some of it is mitigated by bonds and by derivatives, which balance the effect if there is a decrease in the interest rate. We all the time consider whether to increase the edge on the change of the interest rate of that liability. I would like to remind that this liability is for a closed group, and it's supposed to decrease year after year in the next, 10 to 15 years. We are considering a lot of options, but we really believe that the current interest rate for the long term is relatively low. So it might decrease further, but I see that the chance or the probability that there will be a huge decrease in the interest in the long-term interest rate in a relatively low probability.
Okay, thank you very much. Maybe my last question for you, and maybe for Gil as well. I mean, we're all expecting rates to be cut already yesterday, and that didn't happen. I think the market is very much incorporating another cut, or at least one cut in the near future. Some of our expectations are even to negative interest rates. I'm just wondering what your overall view is and what it means for margins and your top-line growth next year. Thank you very much.
Okay. Hi, Michal. Gil here. Regarding interest rates, yesterday the market was somewhat surprised by the lack of a rate cut. Actually, our forecast was for no rate cut, so we were off consensus, but we were right this time. Looking ahead, we do expect the Bank of Israel to make one more move on rates downwards, so it's more a matter of time and not so much an if. And I think the main factor there is going to be the ongoing decline of the inflation environment looking ahead. As far as the specific timing, I do think that the political outlook ties into things, especially when is a new government going to be formed, will they present an economic package, and will the Bank of Israel want to kind of come on board to perhaps tack on to the fiscal package some form of monetary loosening. Our forecast is for a cut of the interest rate from currently 25 basis points to 0.1% to 10 basis points. That's all that I see. As far as the possibilities of negative rates in Israel, I think that that possibility is reserved only for a very adverse scenario that would develop, and we're not there. We don't see the leading indicators for that, so I don't think that that's on the agenda at the moment. It would really take a dramatically severe downturn of the economy, which is not the case at the moment, so I don't see that happening. Perhaps, Omer, you would like to speak about margins moving ahead?
Yeah. Well, with regard to the margins, there are a few effects which affect the margin. First, it depends what will happen with the Bank of Israel interest rate. If there will be a decrease, it will impact negatively our result. And as Gil mentioned, if there will be a decrease, so the market and also Gil expect that it will not be more than 15 basis points. And the other impact is regarded to mortgages. And in mortgages, we see for a long period an increase in margins as a result of the fact that the new mortgages are sold for higher margins than the average portfolio. The third impact is related to the mix of the portfolio, and we focus our growth in the last 2 years in corporate, middle market, and mortgages, which has lower margins than than unsecured household and small business, and this change in the mix of the debts. Impact also the margin because the total margin is an average of the different kind of credits.
Very clear. Thank you very much, and have a great afternoon.
Thank you.
Next question is by Borja Ramirez of Citi. Borja, please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon. This is Borja Ramirez from Citi. Thank you for taking my question. Basically, I have a very quick question. In light of potential rate cuts from the Bank of Israel and with a potential effect on the margins, in order to potentially offset the potential effect on profitability, could we expect further efficiency measures going forward? Thank you.
Hi, Borja. Thank you for your questions. Well, efficiency measures became a way of life in Leumi. And in the last 4 years, I think we carried out three efficiency plans. And we understand that in the threats that are in the banking industry, and in the transformation to digital, which is a target for us, it's a major part in our strategy to transfer more and more activity to digital. We understand that we have to continue our streamlining year after year, Currently, there is no specific plan for next year because we are still operating the efficiency plan that we declared 3 months ago. But I'm sure that we will continue to streamlining and decreasing our workforce because the transformation to digital is a way of life.
Understood. Thank you very much.
If there are any additional questions, please press star 1. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. Please stand by while we poll for more questions. There are no further questions at this time. This concludes Lumi's third quarter 2019 results conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may go ahead and disconnect.